Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of state.
We don't care if we're a little bit. Well, I try not to be late, and I was not. Today is Friday, January 30th, 2026. You're listening to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie. Thanks for tuning in to Valley Free Radio today. Oh, I'm burning up. You wouldn't believe it because it's a cold day out there. It said predicted high of 14 before I left for Valley Recycling this morning. And it kind of felt like that out at Cans for Cancer. So cold, it froze a few brain cells, and I left my phone out at Valley Recycling because I had to scoot on up to Florence to the radio station. But me knowing myself, the good thing is I have a backup phone because I know I'm just going to lose a phone. They're pretty cheap on eBay, you know. All right, for today's show, actually, there are so many phones floating around people's pockets and dusty drawers and dresser drawers, I mean, and that kind of thing. Yes, I was scootering up back, my kick scooter up back from Valley Recycling up past Smith College, past Paradise Pond, and up past Child's Park, and the snowbanks and stuff. And I didn't see a whole lot of cyclists and walkers out. I passed high school as they were getting out. High schoolers were going to their cars and such and walking out. And I heard some not very thickly dressed. Well, you can't really dress too warm if you're going to school, I don't think, because then you got to store all those things in your school locker or somewhere. You can't be having store. Anyway, I heard them complaining, oh, it's cold out here. Where am I going with this? My brain was, oh, yes. I was thinking about how much I love to scooter and kick that scooter up the road and get the blood flowing and the sweating and the body warmed up and just being alive. And I thought about how much I feel in love with the trees and the plants and the animals, and I'm just loving them. It's my dance of love for nature, kicking when I kick that scooter along. And so for today's show, like I said, I got some dregs. I also have some feature pieces. My longest clips today would be, I really think I'm going to get around to this one of Matt Wallace from his garden project with the kids in Eastport, Maryland. That was a recording from September, from my September trip down south. I know Matt through, what's a local connection? Well, I'll introduce that when I get to that clip. And then my other long clip, how long is this clip? 9.5 minute clip called Poop Composting Tips. And I got some clips from Kentucky, little ones here and there, and lots of little stuff. Well, I'll start with this little one from my friend Salem, who was at Bike Lab last Saturday. Nobody came to Bike Lab Saturday but there were a lot of people there. What I mean is the usuals were there, and that was like me and Paige and Adele and Ben and Eli and Salem and somebody else came by, and I'm forgetting. Oh, Pablo and Almasati stopped by too. That next Bike Lab will be not tomorrow Saturday, but the first Saturday in February. I believe that would be the 7th of February. Then I'm planning on going to Trinidad on the 20th of February, doing some bike stuff there. Okay, so this few seconds worth of clip, I spend 2 minutes introducing my 30-second clip. This is my friend Salem, who rides from Granby? I don't know, somewhere far. How do you keep pushing key to keep your feet warm?
You fold the newspaper into a triangle.
Uh-huh.
So, and a diagonal across.
Uh-huh.
Put your foot on top of the triangle with 3 point, like 1 point going forward, 1 point going left, 1 right.
Uh-huh.
fold up the two sides over the top of your foot, fold the front up over the top of your foot, and then slide it into your boot.
Okay. So you get the nice single or double, whatever. You get the smooth layer on the bottom, and then all the bunch of stuff is up on the top.
You're not just with a wad of newspaper. Right. Like it's folded neat.
Sweet. Thanks.
So Salem actually has a blog. I have to look it up. Got bike, got something. I'll look that up for you listeners because he's a great writer, a very funny blog writer, all about biking, winter, fun, outdoor things. My brain's so frozen. Well, okay, so also this past week, we got a lot of snow over the weekend, if you didn't notice. And maybe it's because states of emergency were declared. And I think the state of emergency, that was just a way of saying, look, people, don't go to work, don't go to school, stay home. And so the people can plow the roads. Okay, just don't be on the roads because we got to plow the snow. That was what the emergency was. Get those roads cleared because we Americans want to go places now. But one of the things that happens when there's a state of emergency, according to my housemate, Nicholas, who I'm probably not quoting properly, but it means something about the ham radio operators, and they give weather reports every couple hours. They call into their ham radio thing and give a weather report, weather conditions, every couple hours during states of emergency, something like that. Next time, I'll have to interview Nicholas to introduce this clip truthfully.
Okay. November 1, Oxford, November, Oxford, Georgia, Chicopee, 190 feet above sea level, 6 degrees Fahrenheit, moderate snow, 1.5 inches measured, no wind, no damage at this time. Is that a roger?
Roger, sir.
Okay, thank you, George.
So that's just, that was from Sunday or Monday, probably Monday, I believe. Just the recording. Whatever. Now, what's my next little clip? Okay, so I think I will go back a little bit to Kentucky, my Kentucky travels. And we'll just have some sounds from my Tennessee-Kentucky trip. Okay. That's what you hear in Protestant churches all over the country on Sunday mornings. That one's from Knoxville, Tennessee.
It's a train creeping along the rails by the Tennessee River in Knoxville.
And what else? Okay, so when I was in Kentucky, I spent Christmas in Kentucky, also known as the 25th of December. And my Dad was telling me a little Christmas Day story from long ago when I was little. Maybe I wasn't even born yet. And my mom was a doctor in Whitesburg, Kentucky. One Christmas morning.
One day when my mom was on call on Christmas Day in the emergency room, she was a doctor, and a man came in with a rattlesnake bite to his head. And that was in Whitesburg, Kentucky, Letcher County, Eastern Kentucky.
Wait, what?
He had a rattlesnake bite in his head on Christmas morning.
How did he manage that, you know?
He was over at the neighbor's house stealing a Christmas tree, and he was down there sawing. And there was it was a sunny Christmas, and this rattlesnake was up there warming itself on the limb.
Wow.
It only happened in fiction.
Uh-huh. Wow. So what did she do?
You call for anti-venom and whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Justice done for something.
Yep, don't go stealing and cutting down people's nice little spruce or fir or pine trees in their front yards on Christmas Day. No, no. Okay, that was my dad, Jim Woodring. Here's another little story from my dad talking about when he was a teenager. He grew up in eastern Pennsylvania in a coal town in eastern Pennsylvania, Freeland, Pennsylvania, actually, near Hazleton. And just a 3.5-minute clip, him talking about some of his teenage years.
By the time I was getting out of high school, I was aware of this. That was one of the reasons I went in the Army, as soon as I turned 17. Don't need an extra teenage boy to feed. I got out of high school, I had no ambition. Nobody was going to college anyway. And what do you do? Wait around till you're drafted? And what do you do while you're waiting around? Turn 17, sign the papers.
How long were they drafting? After the end of the Second World War?
They started up with the Korean War, drafting again. Even though you'd be drafted for 2 years, mm-hmm. and enlistment was three, mm-hmm. What do you do? Will you or will you not be called? Mm-hmm. What do you do until you... If you're 18, and then you live with all that uncertainty, and I didn't have any plans, but I figured I would have plans, but I can't make them if I'm going to be drafted. And so went, and George was already gone in the Marines, and so that was two big, voracious teenage appetites out of the house. And I had a $50 allotment going home. Every month, went out of my pay automatic. Yeah. But I was making $72 a month in the Army. So I had $22. I could almost spend $1 a day. And they gave me room and board when I was there.
What was there to spend it on?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
There was real bus service in those days. Mm-hmm. And I went for boot camp in Indiantown Gap. And you could just get on either a Greyhound or a Capital or whatever it was and come up for $1 and then ride the local Freeland Hazleton for a quarter, a dime, a nickel, I don't know. Yeah, regular bus services.
Yeah. But $1 was about what you would have available per day when you broke down what you were getting paid. You were $72. If you spent $50 home, that means you had left $20 left. 50 cents a day, so
yeah,
$1 was a lot of money there.
Yeah, but if you got $22 and you're going to go home and back once a month, twice a month, it's still $18, $20 left.
So you had a little, a million, in the Army, you had a little bit of incidental, you had toothpaste and stuff. Mm. But you go to PX, but still, I just sent more home to my own savings account. Yeah. By the time I got out, I had
a lot.
I got married off that money. Yeah. When Mary and I got married, we bought a house trailer. And we came back from our honeymoon, and it was the college, Wake Forest, had a trailer park in those days because lots of veterans coming back. And so we got back from our honeymoon, and there the thing.
That was your home.
That was my home. How did I pay for it? That Army savings. Yeah, it cost all $1,200.
My dad was born in 1935 and went to Korea in the Army. Then he got out, went to college, at Wake Forest, went to Catawba College, actually, then went to seminary at Wake Forest and other places, and became a Presbyterian pastor, finishing off his seminary in San Juan, Puerto Rico, when my mom, a doctor, decided she wanted to move to San Juan to be a missionary doctor there. Well, not in San Juan, in El Guacio, or somewhere in Puerto Rico. You're listening to Out There. I'm Ruthie. We'll come back with more clips. Oh, my dad said, he said something about back when there was real bus service. Well, guess what? There's now bus service. As of Wednesday, January 28th, 2026, there's now bus service connecting Pittsfield and Northampton, Great Barrington and North Adams. It's the Link 413. Schedules online, all that. So the buses from Northampton, between Northampton and Pittsfield, there's 2 in the morning, 7, they leaving Northampton at 7:30 and at 9:30. And 2 in the evening, leaving Northampton at 5:30 and 7:30. Same, two leaving Pittsfield, 7:30 and 9:30 a.m., and 2 leaving Pittsfield, 9:30 to 7:30 p.m. And they take an hour and a half. So if you want to take a day trip to Pittsfield, you can leave downtown Northampton, either at the Amtrak station or the Academy of Music. Leave there at 7:30 a.m., get to Pittsfield at 9, work your 9-to-5 job in Pittsfield, and at 5:30, catch the bus back. Be back home at 7. Phew, I wouldn't want to do that every day, but good to know it's an option. It costs $10 for the full fare, and they accept cash on the bus, or $5 for a reduced fare. Available to customers 60 years and older, with a picture ID, or Mass statewide access pass, Medicare card, etc. And it looks like it's one fare no matter how far you go. And it stops. They stop if you leave Northampton. Amtrak stops at the Academy of Music, Williamsburg Center, Goshen Center, Cummington Center, Windsor Center, Dalton Center, Pittsfield Transit Center. And I saw the bus go through on Wednesday, and now when I was in Florence, and it's a big bus, like a charter bus kind of big bus. It's not like a PVTA bus with bike racks on the front, and it doesn't do, at this time, I don't believe it does on-demand stops, but they do say they're looking for customer feedback, so maybe there would be stops that it doesn't currently make that it would consider making, like maybe I know a lot of people who want to go skiing up at Notch View. A lot of my biking, walking friends would love to go skiing at Notch View, but don't have transportation up there. And they're like, now there's a bus. They've been talking about this bus for a year and a half at least, and it has started. All right, that's the Link 413. And it is a joint collaboration between Berkshire Regional Transit Authority, Franklin Regional Transit Authority, and Pioneer Valley Transit Authority. And it was created in response to feedback from customers surveyed in recent years who noted connectivity as a key area for improvement. The three transit authorities received grant funding for multiple years from MassDOT through the Regional Connectivity and Innovations Grant Program. So the three buses, did I say them right? It's approximately 45 minutes between Pittsfield and North Adams, and 90 minutes between North Adams and Greenfield via Adams, Savoy, Plainfield, Ashfield, and Charlemont. And then 90 minutes between Pittsfield and Northampton with stops in Dalton, Windsor, Cummington, Goshen, and Williamsburg. All right, Link 413. Now, time to hear from Nina Simone.
It's not know that I'm alive. I play just to feel that I'll survive. And this death that's taking place, well, hollowness is just a case. I sing just to know that I'm alive.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Next, we have, going back to my clips from Kentucky. Here's a clip from my trip with my dad and my brother from Kentucky up to Herndon, Virginia to see my aunt. Okay, here's the classic small town scenario. Some small town where I've never been. This is actually Buena Vista, Virginia, near a few miles outside of Lexington, Virginia, where my dad and my brother and I are staying in a hostel type place for the night en route to Reston, Virginia, Northern Virginia, to see my aunt who just went into hospice today. So it's after dark. But I just want to explore. I do not like to be in cars. I'm all pent up. I just want to explore. So it's like 10 o'clock at night and I am exploring the town, just walking around, trying to find the Maori River and seeing a few sheriff or police cars around. But it's a classic situation where I look suspicious and out of place. Who is this person in our town, just wandering around aimlessly? So, in anticipation of being questioned by the police, you know, because I'm always thinking, what should I say? Should I say, my name is Ruth Woodring? I'm not required to answer any other questions. No, I don't have any ID. No, I will not cooperate. I'm not legally required to do anything more other than give you my honest name. And I thought, well, maybe I could do a little better than that. And I thought, so this is a take on this childhood song that we used to sing. My name is Jon Johnson, I come from Wisconsin, I work in the lumber yards there. When I walk down the street, all the people I meet say, hey, what is your name? And I tell them, my name is Jon Johnson, I come from Wisconsin, I work in the lumber yards there, etc. So I say, if I get stopped by the cops, I hope I can just burst out into song and tell them, my name is Ruth Woodring, I come from the woods, and I'd rather be hugging on trees. I look so suspicious, so vile and vicious, one glance and I make people sneeze. I'm looking for somewhere to compost my apple core and maybe somewhere to pee. And when I walk down the street, all the folks that I meet say, hey, what is your name? And I tell them, my name is Ruth Woodring. I come from the woods and I'd rather be hugging on trees. I look so suspicious, so vile and vicious when glancing at me. And no matter what you think, I'll give you a big wink and tell you that I come in peace. So I shared that little clip with my brother, that little bright idea with my brother, who's a little more conventional than me. And he said, that will not turn out well. They already think you're a freak. And if you do something like that, they'll just think you're even more of a freak. Yeah, well, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Next clip. It's time for, it's a good segue into my next clip. I think it's time to talk about poop composting tips.
I want to talk about poop. We might not always have access to a plethora of clean running water. If the plumbing system or the water distribution system gets messed up, what are we going to do with our poop? And it can cause some real chaos in a community, in a human health, everyone's health, if we don't know what to do with it. So I'll start. Here's the easiest thing. Say you're out in the woods and there's leaves, trees, earth, growth, nice living things, natural decomposing things that will readily absorb your poop and become one with it. Well, I like to find a place away from running water. Streams, I mean, you know, like the natural running water. I like to find a place away from the running tap water. I like to find a place where maybe there's a divot. Well, as long as it's not like a sinkhole leading to water. Maybe a place where, assuming you don't have a shovel, assuming you're just out and about and you're like, oh shoot, this is unexpected, what am I going to do? So a place where maybe there's a rock you can upturn, or some fallen branches or a fallen log, leaves. So I'll try to remove the leaves and then try to kick a little hole in the dirt. Often it's really tangled with plant roots, but I'll do what I can. Sometimes I'll take a stick, like a broken off, rotten, not too rotten stick, and try to dig with that a little bit. Sometimes you just gotta go and you just don't have time to do all this. In that case, yeah, just the quickest thing you could do to try to move some leaves, stick, rock out of the way and do your business. And if there's not snow on the ground, if it's not too cold, maybe you can find some fallen leaves. Certain leaves are better than others. Oak leaves tend to be really kind of sleek, slippery, and not very absorbent. But maybe some maple leaves that are a little bit further under the duff that are softened up with moisture. And you can wipe. Oh, did I mention hemorrhoids? I think hemorrhoids are not really, I don't think they're that much of a problem where people don't use toilet seats prying apart their buttocks. I think squatting and pooping is better for your hemorrhoidal system. Anyway, you do your business. I try to kick some dirt over it if I can, enough to coat any moist remains that I may have left, and put some leaves on it, maybe step on it a little bit to on top of the leaves to make sure the leaves are going to stick and not just be blown away by the wind or something. Maybe put a rotten stick or a rock on top of it to keep animals out. The thing is, you want to keep like water, wind, animals from dispersing your poop. Now, if you're not so in a situation as to have an earthen forest with leaves, then things can get a little trickier. Look for the rocks, the fallen logs, fallen branches, something. Like if it's frozen, if it's snowy, just cover it over with something. And snow is going to melt. Don't forget, snow will melt and leave your little turd volcano sitting right there, or log, whatever it is. And I guess in some cases, the best option may be to put it in a bag and carry it out, which you might or might not have with you. Maybe you got your sandwich in a bag, got to gobble that down and replace the sandwich with the sandwich that you ate 2 days ago. Anyway, a few tricks and tips there for outdoor how-to SHIT in the woods. Now, if you're in an urban area and there's water failure or the flush toilet plumbing sanitation wastewater system failure, then I recommend finding something like newspaper. Newspaper is really nice, but not always accessible. Or dried leaves or paper bags. And depositing your excrement onto that. And maybe in a bucket or putting it into a bucket, like a 5-gallon bucket, some kind of waterproof container. And mixing in some earthen material. Partially composted leaf duff is great. Partially composted sawdust is great. If nothing else, you can just grab a handful of dirt to try to coat it to keep smells, flies, that kind of thing off, to absorb some of the moisture so it doesn't smell when it decomposes, to help the decomposition process, to help it return to the earth fast. And if you have a nice mix of turd coated with the natural materials with lots of microbes, and then you mix that in your bucket. Ratios, I don't know, off the top of my head, I'd say maybe half and half. Half turd to half leaf litter, sawdust, newspaper, decomposing earth, grass clippings, green grass if that's all you got. Weeds, whatever you can grab. And then when your bucket fills, if you're still not able to use the wastewater treatment system, or if you don't want to, that bucket can probably sit for a while it breaks down, and then hopefully you can find another bucket. If you can't find a bucket, hopefully you can find, I don't know, maybe a trash bag. Put that in somewhere where it's not, you know, I'm just brainstorming off the top of my head. There's probably something plastic you can find that won't leak, given the state of plastic plethora in our current society. Anyway, when your buckets or bags or those things fill up, if you're still looking for more space, you could try a 55-gallon drum. And I've heard of urban human manure composting systems that use 55-gallon drums. Or you could find a place enclosed, like a compost pile, enclosed bin or pallet or brick or block retaining area protected from rain and animals, and put it there and keep on layering it with earthy materials. See, this is part of the reason why we really need fallen leaves and grass and weeds, so-called weeds and bushes and understory, and not just lawns and specimen trees, because we need those edges, because we need these materials to compost things for life, like to compost our own waste. Something as basic as composting our own waste. If we have little micro climates, environments, corners of life all around the yards, the paths, the roads, that's where life can give more life. It's like, what if you live in a asphalt jungle? What are you supposed to do? If there's no trees or no grass or no plants, we're screwed. We have no fresh air, nothing cleaning the air, nothing cleaning the water, nothing growing food, and no way to even compost their own poop. Oh, and here's a couple of urine tips. So urine is high in nitrogen, and these materials like dried leaves, dried grass, they're high in carbon. Carbon, nitrogen, like to balance each other out. So if you have a big pile of carbon, sawdust is great, but hard to come by in certain environments. But you know, leaves exist, so they can get matted down and kind of anaerobic. But if you can combine your carbon and your nitrogen, piles of branches, that's lots of carbon there too. You can combine your carbon and nitrogen, pour your pee on those things, and balance itself out within limits.
All right, listeners, that was a clip that I did when I was in Kentucky. I called it Pine Mountain Poop originally. There's some really great resources about this such thing, such as the Human Year Handbook. That's a good one. Then we also have some songs, catchy songs. Boop, boop, be-dop.
Poop, poop, poop in a bucket, yeah. Let's all poop in a bucket. Poop, poop, poop in a bucket, yeah. And we'll save the world. There's 6,610,229,137 people on the planet. And when you gotta go, you gotta go. It's a fact of life, dagnabbit. And where it goes, we don't know. Why should we care at all? The latest scoop in Poop Town is the biz of City Hall. But cleaning poopy water takes a lot of juice. A little pool of fossil fuel for every party use. Swoosh. Then we, the people, get it back. Tastes like bleach. In a pinch, add stink to stitch. This I don't capiche. So I poop, poop, poop in a bucket. Yeah, let's all poop in a bucket. Poop, poop, poop in a bucket. Yeah, and we'll save the world. Poop, poop, poop in a bucket, yeah. Let's all poop in a bucket. Poop, poop, poop in a bucket, yeah. And we'll save the world. If everybody would poop in a bucket and throw it in a compost bin, we'd save tubs of water, raise our consciousness, and then polar caps would stop melting. The economy would be fair. The air would smell of roses, we'd have health and we'd have care. And we, the people, would love each other with food for one and all. They'd grow a garden in Poop Town and one at City Hall. So let's poop, poop, poop in a bucket, yeah. Let's all poop in a bucket. Poop, poop, poop in a bucket, yeah. And we'll save the world. In a bucket. Yeah!
Oh, yeah, if you want to see Poop in a Bucket in action, sanitize, savorize, permitted, approved by the Northampton Health Department. There's the Community Gardens Composting Outhouse in Florence, the Florence Community Gardens. But it might be kind of closed right now for the winter season. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. What am I next little clip? My next little clip. This is from my return back to Massachusetts after being in Kentucky.
Here's the difference between my life in Kentucky and my life in Northampton. In my life in Kentucky, I exist in the natural world. And in my life in Northampton, I exist in the human-made world. And in Northampton, the things I think about are the things that other people talk about or write about. And when I'm in Kentucky, the things I think about, well, they are things that people think about, talk about, write about. But they're also largely the things that I observe in my immediate environment. And I was thinking about, just a minute ago, I was sitting on the bench by Deals and Steels where the rail trail crosses Pleasant Street. That's where I sit and contemplate life. As I eat a snack from Deals and Steels. And I was thinking about the human, watching all these the human beings around me and this civilization, and thinking about the things people that we preoccupy our minds with, and all these things going on all over the world, crazy stuff. And then I was like, Do you know what's happening right above your head? There's this honey locust tree. And the most amazing thing is happening right above your head. Every twig on that honey locust tree, every single twig
this like growing, swelling, moving tree fluids around. And all this, it's just at a slow pace that I don't see in my human eye timeline. And isn't that just as amazing as people getting killed and the horrible things happening all over and injustices? Like, we can occupy our minds with so much spectacular news, and it's all around us, incredible things happening that we're just not trained to see.
Yeah. Oh, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Time for another song. Wait, no, I just played a song. I told you my brain was a little befoggled. Well, let me make some announcements. So tomorrow, the 31st of January, will be the Northampton Winter Farmers Market at the Senior Center. That is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I heard you got to be there at 10:01 if you want to get the eggs from Crabapple Farm before they sell out. And there's so many things they sell there at that farmers market from all realms of I don't know, mushrooms and apples and vegetables and meat and cheese and food and I don't even know. But check it out. Check it out tomorrow, Saturday, January 31st, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Oh, here's something else going on tomorrow. This is over in Amherst, the far side of Amherst. Kestrel Land Trust is having a full moon hike. Is it a full moon tomorrow? Well, they're having a full moon hike up Mount Norwalk. You can check out the Kestrel Land Trust site if you want to do that group hike. And, ooh, also tomorrow, oh, yeah, Kestrel Land, oh, I think Kestrel Trust, they're doing a tracking walk, too, in Florence at the Mineral Hills. Check out this is all that snow. It's good for checking out the animal tracks. What else? Ooh, also ice sculptures downtown this weekend. Nice cold weekend to check out those ice sculptures. They maybe won't melt for a while. I don't know how long it'll take till they get smashed, but hopefully they'll be around for a while. What else? Oh, so at my last show, I announced that there would be a memorial for my friend Kat, many people's friend, Kat Alonzo Bodziak. And we had that last Saturday, January 24th. And here was a song that someone played on their recorder for Kat. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. Today's show has been a bit of a variety show. And I got another clip. Variety clip. This is from my travel. This is from my September trip to Kentucky. This is a 7-minute clip that ends up at the Middlesboro Roller Rink.
Stories of my travels. I left Northampton on Monday night, the 22nd. Now it's Friday evening. And let's see, I went to
went to Springfield, scooted out, saw friends, Daniel and Kristen in Springfield, scooted back, took 11:35 p.m. train overnight to Baltimore, scootered from Baltimore down to Westport, took the light rail, or Cherry Hill, took the light rail at the Glen Burnie, scootered, took the bus to Annapolis, scootered to Eastport, stayed with Matt Wallace, and then Matt, the next day, drove me down to his mom's family land, south of Annapolis, and we did some work cleaning out an old tractor trailer storage on the farm. And then Matt's mom, Sarah, who I know from Northampton, gave me a ride to Washington, D.C., where she was visiting a friend. And then I scootered like 6 miles through Washington, D.C., up to Tenleytown, where I spent the night with my coworker Ben Winter's mom. And then I got up at 4 in the morning, caught a bus down to the Union Station, and took a Greyhound from Washington, D.C. to Knoxville. And in Knoxville, then I took a local bus to downtown. And then I scootered to my friends at the Catholic Worker House, like 3 or 4 miles to their house on the south side of Knoxville, where I spent the night. And then didn't know how I was going to get from Knoxville back to Kentucky, but my new friend Linda hooked me up with a ride. Her brother was coming to Middlesboro, and so I got a ride. I scootered up to Fountain City, like, I don't know, 10 miles up to Fountain City, Knoxville, north side of Knoxville, and then I got a ride with Linda's brother to Middlesboro. Then I scooted around to Middlesboro, and I'm going to go roller skating tonight at the roller rink in Middlesboro. And then my nephew Johannan is going to take me home around 9 p.m. for the last 15 or 20 mile leg over the mountain to my dad's house. My friend Matt in Annapolis, his brother is a welder, and so a couple days ago when we were there, he took me in my scooter, which has some cracks, my kick scooter, my Zooter scooter, which has two cracks in the fork and the steering tube separating from the fork, and his brother quickly tack welded it back together. But it cracked again when I was going through D.C. because it was like 6 miles of, a lot of some miles of sidewalk, boom, 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 very jarring on aluminum. But the great thing about having a kick scooter on its last leg is that when I put it on the bus or when I leave it outside somewhere, I don't worry about it getting stolen, because I think it's time for me to upgrade. So I think I already recounted how the light rail coming out of Baltimore, they said you had to buy a ticket, but they weren't checking. So it was kind of essentially free. And they said it was free on Car Free Day, Monday, September 22nd. Then in D.C., when I took the local bus down to Union Station, I got on the bus to pay the $2.25 fare, but it said fare box broken. So that, I got a free ride there. In Knoxville, the bus was only $1 anyway. Oh, in Lynchburg, Virginia, there was also something about buses being free, maybe for a car-free day or car-free week coming up next week. We're starting day after tomorrow nationwide. So I'm scootering through down Cumberland Avenue in Middlesboro, and this guy walking across the street. We cross paths at the sidewalk, so we say hi, and he says, "Hey, are you a Woodring? Are you Ruthie? You and me, we won the 3-on-3 competition back in 1990 something in Middlesboro High School," or something like that. I was like, man, wow, thanks for saying hi. You gotta understand, I know like nobody in this town, but I'm trying to reconnect. Middlesboro roller rink on a Friday night. All ages.
1 minute ago, they called ladies only. Of course, I kept skating. A few minutes later, they reinforced.
Grab yourself a partner. Let's have couples only. Couples only on the skateboard.
Anyway, when it was ladies only.
Two, not one. If you're on the floor, you're holding hands with someone other than yourself. Couples only, please.
Anyway, after a while the ladies only, then I got called out and said, hey, it's ladies only. I said, I'm a woman. And I started to hold up my breast. And he looked confused. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, it's fine. I get it all the time. There's about probably 20 girls and 5 guys, boys between the ages of 5 and 55, and for the couples only.
Oh my God!
There's mostly the couples only, mostly girls and girls, 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 women, girls and girls, hold hands.
Cha-cha again. Turn it out.
Oh, whoa.
You skate around. When the music stops, you stop under a number, 1 through 6. Randy will roll the dice. If you're under the number he rolls, you must have a seat. Here we go with Survivor.
That's a Friday night roller skating at the Middlesbrough, Kentucky roller rink. What's the population of Middlesbrough, Kentucky? I don't know. A few thousand? Something like that. All right. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. I should be live in the studio again next week. And thanks for listening. Oh, here's a request. Daniel Johnson. Johnston. If people have a name that's J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, is the T side? Johnston. I don't know. Daniel Johnston. True love will find you in the end. I don't need to butcher the poor guy's name.
Love will find you in the end. You'll find out just who was your friend. Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end. This is a promise with a catch. Only if you're looking can it find you. This true love is searching too. Recognize you unless you step out into the light, the light. Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end.
Daniel Johnston, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And I've updated some of them. Not completely updated, but they're pretty updated. Thanks to Alex Jarrett for helping me out on the tech end of that. I think there's 300 and some episodes out there from the last 10 or 11 years. And what else? I'll go out with some music.
and the whatever thoughts I had are going. So Democracy Now comes up at 5 o'clock, followed by Civil Politics at 6, and you can hear some more astute political observations and things, and hopefully get great ideas about how to live a just, loving, kind life in this world. Yes. Lambada by Kaoma.
This is Brian from Psychic Cyclone. You're listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM in Northampton.